then what have we become? And they voted overwhelmingly to leave the United Methodist denomination. And since then, they are doing quite well. And that's where we are. That's what Mordecai did. That's what the apostles did when the Jewish council decreed that it was forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. The church cannot bow and do reverence to the pressure of this crazed, insane, and atheist Marxist culture that is taking over the foundations of this country and its churches. When the civil laws are passed that the Bible cannot be preached because it has been declared hate speech, we will not bow or do reverence to the satanic and demonic enemies of the Lord and His truth. Amen. And as Brother Daniel says, I'll start a jail ministry. Mordecai exercised unbending conviction in the face of cultural pressure and job pressure. In our text, there's four words that describe the remaining four Bible study chapter divisions. Superstition in verse 7, deception in verses 8 and 9, proclamation in verses 10 to 14, and confusion in verse 15. Now let's go through these. First, divination used in verse 7. Divination used. Superstition. Haman has placed and planned out his revenge of what was done by Mordecai in verse 6. It said he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So he now pulls the dice out as to when would be the best time to do this and carry it out. You see, they divided the days into lucky and unlucky days to undertake any kind of momentous event like this. Sort of like Friday the 13th and buildings not having a 13th floor, airplane flights not having number 13 as the flight number, you know, in our enlightened age. It was customary that the heathen used divination, throw dice, use magic, astrology, witches, soothsayers, crystal balls, palm readings, and psychics. Things that you can't even find any of that these days, because people today are much too intelligent to believe in those things anymore. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did as he was coming to invade either Syria or Babylon. And he got to the fork in the road. And in Ezekiel 21:21, he did this. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He used arrows instead of the dice. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount and build a fort. And guess which way God made it turn? Jerusalem. Haman now has to come up with a date to carry this plan out. Verse 7. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast per, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month and to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Now, per is the Persian word for casting a lot or throwing the dice. And there were two rounds. The one to come up with the day of the month, and the second to come up with the actual month that this would be carried out. And the 12th month came up, almost a year away. So they do this, well, to use our calendar, they do this in January, and the lot comes up for December. And then in verse 13, we know it's the 13th day of the month. Reminds me of Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Thank the Lord for his word, for his indwelling Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, and for spiritual discernment to know what God's will is, rather than, okay, Lord, if it rains in Burton but not in Giddings, I know I'm supposed to do this. That's not how it works. Number two, false slander in verses 8 and 9. False slander, deception. Having settled the matter with the guru astrologers, Haman now has to run something this big by the king. And he does so in two ways. He does it by slander and by bribery. Fear and money. That's what the flesh will focus on. Financial security, money. Getting my bills paid, getting this, buying that, having this, and fear somebody's going to take it away, or I'm going to get this and not enjoy it. That's how the world lives, in fear and in finances. So Haman falsely represents the character of the Jews. Look at verse 8. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it's not for the king's profit to suffer them. Now, do you see the deception? He said, their laws are diverse from all people. Now, that's a true statement. Sort of. It's subtle. We see the same thing in the Garden of Eden. Their laws are diverse from all people, but up to this point, it did not interfere with their civil duties to the state in secular matters. When the laws are just and constitutional, God's people are the best citizens a state can have. But watch here. Here comes the lie. They don't keep the king's laws. Well, yeah, they do. With the only exception is the unbiblical law that Mordecai doesn't obey. And then with the false premise, he draws the false but still logical conclusion. They are a danger to the king and to the kingdom, and there's no profit to let them continue on. And he appeals to his fear and now to his greed, verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. Today's money, that is into the millions of dollars. And he said, I will pay this silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. Where were they going to get it? Where was Haman going to get it? From the Jews. So this would make up for the loss of revenue of losing so many subjects. He would get it from the confiscated property and wealth of the Jews. Very same thing Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany did with the Jews, along not only with their wealth and property, but with the large sums of money that the Vatican gave from the 1933 concordat between Pope Pius and Nazi Germany that allowed him to build his military. It's a historical fact. So Haman is manipulating the king the same way as the flesh manipulates the soul with subtlety. The flesh never prompts us to reject God and his word and his will. It would never work. It's always a suggestion. It always brings up a question. Why would the Bible say this when this is so much better and easier now to do it this way? The flesh plays on our fear, on our greed to override God's will as something better for us in the present situation. Now, the Lord knows we have to pay our bills. So the Lord knows I'm going to have to take a job that I have to work on Sunday. I mean, the Lord knows that. It's just this one time. It's not going to hurt. You see, the flesh has to get the decision and approval from the soul. The flesh cannot act on its own. The soul has to make a decision to allow the flesh to operate and function. It starts with a decision, and it always ends in delusion. Superstition, deception, and now number three, decree issued, verses 10 to 14. Decree issued, and that's the proclamation. Haman obtains what he desires. The king is totally fooled. And he, as such, refuses the gift in appreciation of Haman's diligence in taking care of him and his kingdom. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to thee. Sin always begins with a decision, a consent of the will. And that's where the battle takes place. And once that consent is given by your will in your soul, all the flesh needs now is the opportunity to carry it out. And when that happens, we're handing authority over to the flesh, and then forces are set in motion that is beyond the control of the will and of the soul. It's now out of your control. Ahasuerus gives no thought to this. He doesn't consult his counselors. Esther is ignored. Mordecai and those who sit at the gate are not called. And Haman loses no time in issuing the decree. Notice the cruelty of this edict, verse 12, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews. Now watch this. Both young and old, little children and women. In one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Verse 14, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. What was the crime? What was their crime against Persia? There was none. What was the crime of millions of Bible-believing Christians that have been slaughtered and martyred in the last 2,000 years by the Jewish authorities, the Roman Empire, by Roman Catholicism, by Protestantism, by Mohammedism, by Hinduism, by Buddhism, and by socialist communism? What was the crime? There was none. How could this happen? I remember about 40 years ago standing in front of the ovens in the concentration camp at Dachau, and that same question. How could this happen? It all began with a decision. Superstition, deception, proclamation, and finally, number four, people perplexed. Verse 15, people perplexed, confusion. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. Do you see the contradiction between the court and what's happening in the provinces as they get the news? Both of the Jews and Persians. The Jews had conducted themselves well. Their peaceable behavior was known. And the order was given for every single person, every citizen in the kingdom, to put to death their peaceful Jewish neighbors that they lived in the same village with, that they knew. How could they do this? If they didn't, they would be arrested as an enemy of the state and probably be put to death as well. The whole kingdom is affected. Sin affects our whole body, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The order has gone out to destroy our testimony, our witness, our family, our children, our co-workers, when they see the inconsistency in our Christian testimony. Now, while that reaction is going on, Ahasuerus invites Haman to celebrate with a drink or two. or three. But have we ever congratulated ourselves, patted ourselves on the back after some clever scheming of the flesh that we managed to get our way in something? Even if we had to cut a few corners in the ethics department? Ahasuerus had been duped into thinking that his kingdom will now be safer and better off. And such are the ways of the flesh. It will always try to silence the voice of God. That's why the world is perplexed and confused over a flesh-controlled carnal Christianity. And we are as angry and unhappy as miserable as the world is. We look like the world, we talk and act and even think like the world in order to blend in and avoid confrontation. Sin is flirted with and partied with as if nothing bad will come of it, that nobody will be hurt. The Holy Spirit has come with salvation in order to open our eyes to the truth of God's word. When we make the decision to trust Him instead of Haman, the perplexity and confusion will be replaced with peace and joy. Superstition, deception, proclamation, confusion. The Lord hasn't left us to wander blindly through life and through the times that we find ourselves living in today. But Haman and the Holy Spirit cannot both sit on the throne of our hearts. We have to make a decision which one. Who is there now? Father, we thank you for this look at chapter 3, a look into a life that's controlled by the flesh. The heartache, the sorrow, the destruction, the confusion, the perplexity that it brings. Help us this morning as your people to take an honest look into our hearts that's producing the behavior that we live every weekend. Is the flesh in control, or is the Holy Spirit? Lord, you saved us for a purpose and for a reason. And you've placed us in this place, in this location, and at this time, to carry out that purpose and reason. Lord, open our eyes to your will for our individual lives as it melds and fits together with the lives in this church family that has been put together and assembled by you. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your voice and turn a deaf ear to the voice of the flesh and of the world and of the devil, so that we can be the Christians you saved us to be and do what you've called us to do. with a conviction and an assurance that your word is absolute truth. Give us courage. Give us your strength to reach in and throw Haman off the throne forever, and enthrone your blessed Holy Spirit to govern and guide our lives from this moment on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.